Time now to speak to our legend of the game. She's an Olympic legend, a swimming legend, and she was a gold medalist, a world champion, and a former world record holder. It's great to have Brooke Hansen on the program. G'day, Brooke.
Morning, boys.
Thanks very much for joining. You sound a little bit of trepidation that you not sure what you got yourself into.
Oh, no, listening to all of that, you have to pinch yourself. It's Sunday morning, you've got kids running around the house and I'm making pancakes and doing my thing. I'm like, oh, that's right, I achieved something pretty special in a former life.
very special. Hey, speaking of the former life, how did it start? From what I understand, and I understand why, with your family interests there, but into swimming aged four, is that right?
Yeah, age four, and I think that's when the Olympic dream began, that I actually almost drowned twice as a baby. So mum and dad twice had to pick me up from the bottom of the pool and
wow. And
put me into those swimming lessons. So, I learnt that skill for life. But from that moment onwards, when I could actually swim 15 metres across the pool, I was in a tiny tots race. It was a 15-metre freestyle race, but I swam breaststroke and still won. And I've been swimming breaststroke ever since. It's just a stroke that just came so natural to me, and the water, I've just had this connection to it ever since that age, and I still do now. I just absolutely love being in the water, and had no idea at that point that I'd go on to actually achieve all of my dreams, and it did. It all happened at the age of four, and I wanted to be an Olympian. I wanted to win a medal, and fortunately, I had that background with Dad being a sports journalist and a rugby league journalist. That he would come home with stories from the Olympics, or take me to every single rugby league game for the whole season, and I'd get to meet players, and I'd get to meet Olympians along the way as well. And I think I had a lot of heroes to look up to in my life, and I really just wanted to get the best out of myself.
Brooke, at what point did the dream become a reality? Because we all, you would have been training and you said that you've learnt swimming because of, the two issues where you nearly drowned. At what point, as a young age, did you think to yourself, hang on a second, I can actually do this and do this at the top level?
I think it still took a long time, and I was an athlete where it didn't come easy, and I wasn't a superstar, young kid, or even in my teenage years, it was tough to sort of hang in there over those years. I had some natural ability for breaststroke, but had to really work really hard. And I had, a bit of success during school, and that sort of helped build my confidence to say, yeah, I really want to do this. And tried a lot of different sports. I was doing surf life saving, netball, water polo. I joined a mixed soccer team. Lots of different sports growing up, but swimming is sort of where where my heart really lied, and I really wanted to just achieve those dreams. And I knew that I had to give up the other sports, focus on the swimming, and just kept chipping away. And then before I knew it, I was on my first Commonwealth Games team at the age of 16. I was the baby of the team, and went over to Victoria, Canada, and achieved fourth place there in the 200 metres breaststroke as a 16-year-old. And I was a breaststroker that was well and truly on the rise, and a lot of people were talking about Atlanta Olympics, and I was really focused on making that Olympic team. And I guess, I think back to that time when I was probably thinking more that I was expecting to make those teams, and really just aiming to be the second best breaststroker, rather than really having the confidence to believe in myself and to take that next step to know that I could be the number one breaststroker in our country.
Mm.
So it took you.
Yeah. Oh, I think she's dropped out. She has dropped out. We might have dropped out. So unfortunately there we've lost Brooke Hansen. It's interesting that she was talking about that. She went to the 1994 Commonwealth Games as a 16-year-old and then didn't come back into the Australian side until 2002, so some 8 years later as a mature-age swimmer. Mature-age as a 24-year-old. So it's interesting. We'll get her back online very shortly. But We are chatting at the moment with our legend of the game, and that is Brooke Hanson, just as we're trying to re-establish the line there.
Isn't that extraordinary what she said about, you know, her parents found her at the bottom of their pool.
Yeah.
Twice. And then, you know, it just shows how important water safety is.
Yes.
In this country, and how, I guess, how lucky we are to you know, have access to pools and facilities and whatnot, and that's a brilliant story.
And those things are tragedies that need to be avoided. They can't always be avoided, but they need to be avoided. I think Brooke's back. You there, Brooke?
Yeah, sorry, lost you. Don't know what happened.
Jimmy didn't pay the bill. Sorry about that.
They'll give me 30 days credit, won't they? Surely. That's what I thought. Hey, Brooke, that's interesting because we were just talking about the fact that, yes, you're 16 and you go, okay, I want to be the number two swimmer in Australia, which is the mindset you must look at, back at it now and say, oh, what was I thinking? But you're out of the Australian system for 8 years there. Did you start questioning yourself whether you needed to look elsewhere for career opportunities?
Oh, yeah, without doubt. And to miss Atlanta by 11/100ths of a second, and then to miss Sydney 2000 by 0.71 again, it was, you know, I thought, and I did have a lot of people at that stage going, oh, you know, you're too old, you're too slow, you're a really good teenager, you know, your time's up.
Yeah.
And then I had a lot of other great people in my corner going, we believe in you, Brooke, and we believe that you can go another 4 years and give it another shot. And I look back to, I guess some of the mentors I had in my life then, and one of them was Dawn Fraser.
Yes.
Who got me aside and said, Brooke, I believe as a woman, you'll come into your strength in your, you know, your mid twenties, your late twenties, and I really believe that you can do it. And you've got legends like her telling you to have another shot. It's definitely soul searching time. But to know that they're in your corner, you go, do you know what, I will go another 4 years. But I knew that I had to do it differently. I couldn't do it the way that I'd done it previously. And I started aiming for first, believing myself, and really unlocked that self-confidence to know that I could be the best in the country, which would then make me the best in the world.
Mm.
And like you said, it's that mindset that I had to, you know, to take on board and I never saw anything as a sacrifice. I just saw it as a choice to be the best. And the winning choices I made every day ended up giving me the success that I'd been wanting for so long.
Let's fast forward 10 years. So we start, you said before, 1994 in Victoria, then the 2004 Olympics in Athens. And to be a part of that 4x100 medley relay, to win gold, and then win silver as well on the 100-metre breaststroke. I mean, watching our Aussies, and let me know if I'm sort of on the right path here, but from being a sports lover and loving league and football, I must admit, out of all the swimming events, I love watching the relays because there's that team element.
Yeah.
And the passion that the Aussies display, both the men and the women, it must be a special feeling to be a part of it.
Oh, it is, without doubt. And that's the closest we get to a team sport.
Yep.
And, you know, someone like me, like I said, Dad was a rugby league journalist. I'd grown up watching team sport my entire life. And to know that swimming is so individual, but when you're in that relay, you just give it everything you've got and you find extra 10%. And I was so fortunate just to be part of that 2004 team where the women really came into our own, and that golden era where all of us believed in each other, and to see the girls get up on the first night and win the gold medal in the 4x1 freestyle relay, and that's the first time it had been achieved since 1956, that really made our women's team lift for the rest of the week, and gave us all so much more belief. And the team atmosphere was just, it was electric, it was amazing. And then for me personally to make the Olympic final was, you know, was big, and I was ranked fourth, and I remember thinking, well, fourth doesn't get a medal, so let's see if you can get on the podium. And the last 10 metres, I can still remember the pain I was in, and just thinking, just get your fingernails on the wall. And I felt like I was going backwards and that the wall was never going to come. And I touched the wall and looked around, and the announcer said, someone's been disqualified. And I thought, oh no, I've made it all the way to the Olympics and I've been disqualified. But then they announced that the Chinese swimmer in lane 8 had actually got disqualified for an illegal kick. And then my name just came up in light that I was a silver medalist. And for me, it was a golden reward for never, ever giving up on my dream. And they a lot said that I was the happiest silver medalist that ever won a silver at an Olympics. But I didn't think once about, you know, how I'd lost the gold or that I'd just won the silver over my teammate Liesl Jones, who was only 1/100th behind me. It was just, that was just my moment for saying, hey, Brooke, like 22 years it's taking you to stand on that podium, and it wouldn't have mattered if it was gold, silver or bronze for my individual race. I was just so happy to be there. And as I stood there, I just thought of the journey and the hard yards that I'd done and being told I was allergic to chlorine and, you know, the illnesses, the injuries, the upsets over the years. It was just, it was just one of those moments where you stood there and went, yep, good on me, I've actually done it.
Hey, Brooke, I'm really interested in you recognising that you had to do things differently. You noted that it was around your mindset. How did that change in your mindset, which saw this great success? Were you able to carry that on to other parts of your life post your swimming career?
Oh, without doubt. And so many of the tools I learnt from swimming at that elite level and, you know, winning Olympic gold and silver, and then the achievements that came after that at the World Championships, every high and low post my career.
Yes.
All of those moments has just helped me be a stronger individual and, a better person and a better mum. And, I really have those times in my career to thank for how I live my life now.
What about, after the Athens Olympics, you entered the short course, at FINA, and that was in Indianapolis and Indiana, and then continued on. And then in 2006, there was that chat about retiring, and with the qualification, you did get through in that 200-metre breaststroke, and you did win silver, and that was sort of the changing of the guard, wasn't it? Because we had, Stephanie Rice coming through and a lot of the young guns.
Oh, have we lost you there, Brooke?
Yep, still here.
Yeah. Did you hear that question from Dave?
Yeah, so my 2004 was definitely my year, and the World Short Course Championships, you know, I still do pinch myself at the result to win 6 gold medals and break the world record with the girls in the medley relay, and to be female swimmer of the meet was an incredible year for me. But there was a lot that went on sort of behind the scenes with, like, problems with my coach and some other issues that I went through. I got the electric shock. There was a lot, you know, there was a lot happening leading into 2006. And so for me, just to be on that Melbourne Commonwealth Games team, I was just thrilled to be a member. I was part of the leadership team and just really sort of happy to be there after, you know, going through a lot personally. And I remember one of the interviewers asking me after I'd achieved silver in the 200 individual medley behind Stephanie Rice. They were like, oh, well, you know, this is your third Commonwealth Games and it looks like you'll never win the gold. And I'm like, well, for me, that's not what it's about. It's about achieving your best. I just from a personal best time. I'd been beaten by my teammate. Our other teammate, Lara Carroll, had got the bronze medal. For our team, that's a clean sweep. Like, the three of you are standing on the podium all singing the national anthem in front of a home crowd.
Yeah.
And for me, it wasn't always about winning. It was about getting the best out of myself at that moment on that given day. And if you're against a better component that beats a better opponent that beats you, well, you know, you've just got to congratulate them and say, well done, and you know, and move on. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, as a sports journalist, and I've study journalism myself, but I was like, as a sports journalist, you know, to give you that question straight out of the pool, it was tough to answer. But I remember saying, I've been beaten by a great competitor that will go on to achieve fantastic results in the pool, and that's what Steph did. She went on and won, you know, 3 Olympic gold medals. She was a Olympic champion, world record holder at the next Olympics, and, you know, has had incredible success with her swimming career and beyond. Mm. So, yeah, so for me, it was sort of time to say goodbye to to the pool and to move on, I knew that there was so much more I wanted to achieve beyond the black line. And when your heart's not in it, it's tough to swim, you know, 70 kilometres a week and three, four gym sessions, all of your extra work that you have to do, as well as, you know, the energy in, energy out, with thinking about your food and your supplements 24/7 as well.
Yeah.
So, it was time for me to hang up the togs and, continue on with life.
Those bloody journos, Brooke. It's just incredible, isn't it? Look, Brooke, we've got commercial commitments we've got to reach at the moment. Go back to running around and...
Well, what's on the menu? The pancakes. What type of pancakes, Brooke?
Oh.
We're actually doing the Dutch poffages this morning. So, you know, the little ones that you get at the market?
Oh, enormous. Smorgasbord.
He's dribbling in here now, Brooke.
I only used to get the white wings. Mum would produce the old white wings with the, you know, and you'd shake the bottle, it'd be all lumpy. It's laid on at the Hanson House. Outstanding.
Now, just out of interest, Brooke, who is your rugby league team that you followed around so often?
Well, I was born and raised on Brookie Hill.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, well, I'm a league fan, so I know that a lot of people, you know, might hold the teams against me. But, yeah, I'm a Manly girl through and through. Moved to Melbourne and met a guy that was going for Storm. So he's a Melbourne Storm boy. But then we've moved to the Gold Coast. So I've tried to tell our kids, I'm like, our town, our team. I'm like, if you want to get to the games, if you want to watch league live, well, you'll be going to the Titans game. So, yeah, it's interesting in our house that I'm still Manly, always Manly, and then we've got, Storm and now the Titans. And, I've got Cooper, Billy and Matilda, so they're 8, 5 and 3, but everyone said that I named Cooper after Cooper Cronk and I named Billy after Billy Slater, and I was like, give me a break. I'm still a Manly girl, and they're like,
all right.
Because your hubby goes to Melbourne Storm. So, it's definitely a lot of fun in our household. We love our sport, we love our league, and we feel great that we can take the kids to live games.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's going to be a great season coming up. Hey, Brooke, great to have a chat.
Thank
really
you, mate.
Appreciate it. Thanks for your time on a Sunday morning, and get back to those pancakes.
Will do. Thanks, boys.
Thank you, mate.
There she is, our legend of the game, Brooke Hansen, OAM. Great to have her on the
Manly
program.
Manly supporters have named their kids Zorba.